was 8 p.m.
Good evening, everyone. We're getting started tonight. I ask we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
House the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Swiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leung.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert. Ms. Wilhelm. And Mr. Colombo.
Present. Thank you. Before we get started this evening, we have a couple citations for recently retired city employees. I'll start with Mr. Robert Lopez, who I believe is in attendance this evening. If Mr. Lopez, I will read this and then invite you up to receive it, and then if you want to make any comments afterwards. We do have a citation from council that reads, whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated and diligent member of the Department of Public Works Grounds Bureau for more than 36 years. And whereas Robert Lopez, who started with the city in 1987 and retired as a maintenance worker one in 2023, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable service to his department and to the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now therefore, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Robert Lopez be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than three decades of service. Be it further resolved, now that Robert is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer. And be it further resolved that Robert be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
We also have a citation. Did you want to make a few words? Did you want
to? Well, I just want to thank the person that said all those things that you read out. That was, I'm not quite sure if that was me, but I appreciate it though. But thank you. I thank my buddies for coming out.
Congratulations again, Mr. Lopez. Congratulations again. And we have another citation for Mr. Eric Carr. I don't believe Mr. Carr is here this evening, so we will make sure that he gets that sent to him. Before we begin the rest of tonight's agenda, I want to announce that the public hearing now scheduled for tonight to consider a zoning map amendment involving 119 Technology Drive has been postponed. Rescheduling will be discussed tonight under new business. I also want to announce that Council held an executive session today at 5:30 for its annual update on pending litigation matters. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for the March 7, 2023 meeting. Get home safe, everybody.
All right. You got it.
Any comments for the March 7, 2023 Council minutes? The minutes stand approved. Public comments, starting with any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. So just a YouTube reminder for our audience watching. If you start this meeting after 7 p.m. and you want to watch live, you can scroll ahead so that the YouTube feed is current. I'll start as we traditionally do with those who signed up. And our first person signed up is Artie Caratola. Excuse me, Mr. Caratola. Mr. Caratola, do you mind if we let this person have the microphone first? I didn't see you getting up. I'm sorry. But by all means, take the microphone.
Thank you, City Council. And Chief of Police, I came here to address a matter in which that has to do with disabled people and sobriety. Again, please excuse the stutter, I'm sorry. Which, back in the beginning, when I first moved here back in 2006, I didn't start going outside till 2007 because, you know, high school and all that. And so after high school, I started going out. And of course, when you see a disabled person walking around in a town of bars and whatnot, you're going to get calls to your police department about you know, some guy walking in the street not looking normal, I guess you would say. And that's happened a lot over and over, and constantly I had to explain, not drunk, sober, I'm just disabled. And that conversation had to keep going on and on until after a while, me and the police department did work out a good thing, and you know, they tried their best to keep from that happening over and over. And I even tried to come up with my own ways for them to know the difference between when I'm, you know, under the influence, between when I'm not, which I don't drink any at all. But so I moved away in 2017, and then I came back after vacation, and again, it's still happening. I got just randomly stopped in the street by a new officer who stopped me because he said my walking was staggering. And then while I'm talking to him, you got three more officers showing up because he called more people, which puts more pressure on me. Thank God the three officers that he brought there stopped them and told them, we know this guy. He's all right, he's good, he does this all the time. And now, I understand that it's tough. You know, when it comes to a disabled person, they don't really understand or can tell the difference. So, I just want to know if there's maybe a way that you can implement to your force some kind of training to understand the difference and how to note the difference between a disabled person and a drunk person, because it's true. If I did walk for you right now, you would totally think, okay, this person might be drunk, but no, I'm not. And that's kind of the issue I wanted to like try to bring light to, because I want to see more disabled people in my town. But I have a feeling that I don't, because of the situation that I go through. And so when I go through that countless times, I feel bad for the disabled people that are not outside, because I feel maybe that's why they're inside. Ooh, sorry. Maybe that's why they're inside the house. So, I mean, I came here to just ask if there's anything that you can, you know, maybe help your police force understand, like, just because there's somebody who doesn't walk like everybody else outside in the street doesn't always mean they're bad, doesn't always mean they're breaking the law. Just take the time to talk to them. You don't have to always stop us to ask for our IDs. You don't have to bring four or five officers to back you up. All we want to do is just walk outside. I love cardio. I love to run. I'm running in the streets all the time. But it does get a little old having a police car having to stop you in the middle of your walk to just question you on why you're walking all different. It just gets a little old, and it really hit close to home. And I wanted to try to bring light to that and see if there's something you can do.
Well, thank you for coming out this evening. And you never have to be apologetic to anyone in this room about anything. But I will invite you, if you want to stick around to the end of the meeting, we do have representatives for our police force here, including our police chief. So while we don't have a, this isn't the venue for that dialogue, if you're able to stick around to the end of the meeting, Chief Cott may want to have a conversation with you before we all go home this evening, okay?
Oh, yeah, I shall stay. Thank you.
Thank you. And then we'll start going through those who had signed up. And Mr. Caratola, I invite you up to the lectern.
Hi, I'm Marty Caratola from 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I promise I will not make anyone uncomfortable here upon talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm here to talk about the BPA. Who seem to be one of the gods that you people who control the city of Bethlehem worship. Like a god, it seems like you give them the green light to do and get away with whatever they want. I, plus many others in the past, have spoken at conference meetings about the BPA, but nothing's ever done. You only permit us to vent. It appears that the BPA is a god, because gods cannot be challenged, touched, or tampered with. Gods are superior and supposed to be perfect and flawless. But the Bethlehem Parking Authority has a lot of flaws, and they're shading our city. If I would speak for over an hour, I would address most of them. One of my pet peeves that I may get in upon my 3 minutes to speak is that Fifth Street on the south side, where I live, is not a busy metropolis city that needs to be cleaned every week or other week, like streets in the cities of New York and New York City, Philadelphia. Between April and October, the people who live on Fifth Street and other designated streets in and around the city of Bethlehem have the luxury of having their trash and everything taken care of, their streets cleaned. But us other people, you know, we recycle our trash, leaves and twigs, and place them in bins to be picked up by the city. And we clean our own streets. You know, like we on the south side see this no parking streets cleaning area signs just as a trap to get money out of the people. If we park on those streets during those certain hours on those designated days, we get tickets. It's hard enough to find parking on the south side of Bethlehem. We don't need street cleaning parking restrictions. And we don't need an organization to control our city that claims to be an authority on parking, who is not an authority on parking. I would like to make a proposal that the money given by the city, state, and federal grants to the Bethlehem Parking Authority be given to the police department to do the job of the Bethlehem Parking Authority like it was in the beginning. And secondly, I would like to vote upon the abrogation of the Bethlehem Parking Authority, because the Bethlehem Parking Authority is not in the consumer's interest, and we, the taxpayers, are the consumers. If I need to have a petition signed, I'm certain that I can get 5,000 signatures within less than 1 week just on the south side area alone from where I live. I place many other residents besides myself in the city of Bethlehem believe that we should have a greater, more efficient city if our city was in complete control of the parking situation with our city's police department. God bless you all. I hope that you respect and consider and take seriously to what I said as one greater step towards mankind.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Our next speaker this evening, Marsha Fritz.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity to speak with you. My name is Marcia Fritz, and I live at 818 West Market Street in beautiful West Bethlehem. As you may recall, I addressed this group on October 18th of last year regarding my application for membership to the HCC, Historic Commission on the South Side. I'm immediate past president of Historic Architectural Review Board, known as HARB. I'm a trained architect, a longtime preservationist, and thus am well qualified to serve on either group. Council members, you all, and the public deserve to be able to rely on thoughtful and knowledgeable advice from these groups. I strongly believe that recommendations provided to you be given without favoritism and based on the guidelines that you all have passed, strictly and uniformly, regardless of who you are. Nevertheless, I was removed from HARB by the current mayor, just weeks after the membership elected me as chair. I'm here today to request that you, Mr. Cologne, and the Bethlehem Council seek and provide me with an answer. Why was I removed? My contact information will be provided to you now.
Speaker this evening, Alex Hirsch.
Alex Hirsch, 738 Center Street. Got a couple quick readings. There was a homeowner from Bethlehem whose parking plate caused much mayhem. Though he owned his own land, a permit was out of hand. 249 days and still no resolution. A true problem. Secondly, there once was a mayor from Allentown who stood up to the parking authority, Renown. With courage and might, he fought the good fight against the powers that threatened to drown. Their might seemed omnipotent, it's true. But the mayor knew what he had to do. He took a stand with a firm hand, and the citizens rallied to his view. Now the parking authority run amok, was forced to come clean and up their stock. With the mayor's force, they changed their course, and the city rejoiced. What a shock. That's the end of my dramatic part. I hope to someday write prose celebrating our victory here in Bethlehem over the forces of parking tyranny. Until then, I'll continue counting the days and moving my car every 2 hours. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. That exhausts our list of everyone who signed up, so I'll go around the room starting on the left. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight? Seeing none, turn to the center. Mr. Shire, there's someone behind you, and then you'll be next, Mr. Shire. Come here.
Good evening. Francine Spivak, Riverport Condominiums, Unit 331.
Do you mind just pulling the microphone down a little bit, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to present the following petition. We, the undersigned, respectfully petition that the City Council place a moratorium on apartment building construction until such time as the Housing Strategy Committee and all has vetted the housing strategies best suited to Bethlehem's real estate market and has formulated a final plan. The South Side has seen an explosion of proposed new apartment buildings over the last several years and is the definition of overcrowding, the presence of more people or things in the space than is comfortable, safe, or permissible. In addition to the overcrowding, recently built apartments are not affordable to the average worker. That is, four apartments currently listed at 510 flats range from $1,625 to $1,870 for one bedroom, and a two bedroom is listed at $2,120. The Armory lists a one bedroom for $1,825 and a two bedroom for $2,350. The Armory website also indicates prices change weekly. What will the rents be for the current proposed projects? To date, there are approximately 11 proposed projects, resulting in the possibility of 822 apartments in the 10 to 600 block of 3rd Street, the 10 to 100 blocks of 4th Street, the 300 block of South New Street, Adams and Mechanic Streets, and the 100 block of Technology Street and 2nd Street. 3rd Street is becoming a tunnel with tall buildings on either side of the street. Street traffic is already heavy and parking is tight. With the current proposed projects, there is a potential for 822 more cars on the street, which will unreasonably worsen traffic, not to mention the patrons who frequent our restaurants and businesses. Might this additional traffic discourage them from coming to eat and shop on the South Side? A moratorium on apartment building construction would give our city officials pause to reevaluate our housing needs. I encourage my neighbors to join me in supporting this moratorium by signing below, asking the council to vote to adopt it. And I have 82 signatures on the petition. In addition, I have some other comments. To date in South Bethlehem, none of the units approved or proposed meet the criteria for affordable housing as outlined in the Comprehensive Housing Strategy. Bethlehem needs higher paying jobs. I have concerns about the zoning change requested for 119 Technology Drive from industrial redevelopment to central business, allowing the construction of 240 apartments. This site is zoned for manufacturing and the previous company had 100 employees. I don't understand how we can let this commercial property go. Surely there must be one mid-sized company that would consider relocating their operations to Bethlehem. Has this property been advertised to the North and Central Jersey markets or the Philadelphia market? Has the city offered any incentives to businesses so that they might consider relocating here? Keeping a business at this location benefits our local shops and restaurants by providing lunchtime patrons. Although it increases the traffic in the area, it only affects normal business hours, Monday through Friday traffic, people getting to and from work, as opposed to residential traffic, which is all day, every day. I believe 119 Technology Drive should not be rezoned. The site is better suited for jobs, not more apartments. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome to share anything you'd like. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I had a prepared statement tonight, which I've left on my chair because I'll postpone it to the next meeting because I want to follow all four of the people who spoke before me. We have had, of course, an explosion of market rate apartments in the city. And I'd just like to mention here one aspect of that, which has not been stressed very much recently, and that is there's going to be a need for more police, more firefighters, more EMT, because we cannot handle all these new people with the same force that we have now. And so instead of cutting firefighters, we should be thinking about adding them. As for Mr. Hirsch, I have seconded him once before. The idea that because he's only a part-time resident that he can't get a parking permit is just absolutely ludicrous. And it shows a defect, the auditor is gone, but it shows a defect in the city structure that the authorities sometimes have too much authority. As for the Historic Conservation Commission, I've been giving it a little thought to that. And the operative words are of course, historic and conservation. What kind of people do you want to have on the Historic Conservation Commission? I mean, we all have buildings that we like and that we don't like, and even a contemporary architect could qualify in that respect. So, what advantage is it to have somebody that is knowledgeable about historic architecture? Well, I've thought of two things. One is, such a person has a better knowledge of what is significant about certain historic structures or parts thereof. I mean, as I said, we all have our likes and dislikes. But his architectural historian can point out that this particular aspect of that building was unusual, especially in the Lehigh Valley, and is worth preserving for historic purposes. That would be useful to have on the Historic Conservation Commission. And fortunately, we have someone in the city who's very well qualified to provide that sort of expertise by the name of Marcia Fritz. But there's an even bigger reason for having such a person on there, because I have been to a fair number of Historic Conservation Commission meetings, and sometimes what happens is that the commission will say to the developer that your design is not quite compatible with the neighborhood. I mean, we're not in total disagreement with what you want to do, but we would like to see some amendments. And this has happened a number of times. Who better to provide ideas for blending new construction with historic environment than an architectural historian? I mean, it's pretty obvious. And the fact that this woman, who has volunteered a number of times, has not been nominated, has been eliminated from the Historic Architecture Review Board, suggests that maybe that knowledge is not wanted in the city of Bethlehem, which would be ridiculous to the core. And finally, I would like to speak to, I apologize for getting a little more emotional here, but about the first speaker. I have a suggestion, which may be pretty obvious, maybe even redundant, but it ties in with the efforts underway to sort of have linkages between the police department and the police department to handle particular kinds of cases where some people from the health department with knowledge about various sorts of afflictions and disabilities can be help out to police to handle the situation. So what I like to suggest, if it's not completely redundant, is that the gentleman be issued some sort of a smallish identification that he can carry with him. And if he is approached then by a police officer saying, "Are you drunk?" or he can pull it out and show it to him, signed by somebody in the police department, that this person has this kind of affliction, and do not misconstrue the situation. And it would be signed, it would have to be tailored to that individual. And I'm sure there's other people in the city that could benefit from something like that as well. So that misunderstandings can be erased immediately by the production of might call it a certification of some sort, but something fairly short and in a protective package or something so that it can be produced. And the police department would not be surprised by seeing something like this because the officer would be aware that such things do exist. So anyway, that's just a suggestion. And I've gotten away with
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the wide center who wanted to make comment this evening? Mr. Ankalik, and then Sir Beck.
Stephen Ankalik, 77 Ridge. I would like to see a city where there's room on our boards and commissions for the most shining and competent professionals to give their opinions. So what I would ask that we stop decimating the professionals who are on our boards. Beth Starbuck was not reappointed, and she was a gem of the city. On Harb, Marsha Fritz has not been reappointed. Who said that? Who said that? It was an aside by a member of council while we're speaking about a application for a company to do something, but it was an aside. You people are our caretakers, and as such are the legislative branch to act as a check and balance and watchdogs for the citizens toward the executive or the mayor's office. Clearly, the city is being punished by not having the best qualified on the boards. Ms. Fritz was appointed by a person whom the city recognized by the citation as a premier officer of historic commissions. So therefore, the city is suffering by not having the best people on the board. Why? I won't go into the reasons, but many people whom I know have reasons because it's for personal reasons and possibly political favors. So, this council, as our caretakers, must, by definition, supply an answer to Ms. Fritz. Unfortunately, the mayor's not here, but I would expect to hear that she did receive a reply as to why she was not reappointed. I would like to hear your comments as to what action you will take actively rather than an aside or be silent.
Thank you, Mr. Ankalik.
Hi, my name is Gregory Gulick, and this is my first time here, but I've been a city resident for, I guess, my whole life. And not to dwell on defects of the city, but, you know, I went through a divorce maybe 10 years ago and had a big house, four kids, and thought I might downsize. So I bought a condominium on Linden Street. You all probably know it, across from the Cup. There's a row of about 10 condos. I bought it from a friend of mine, Frank Flisser. He used to be, I think, head of public housing here in the city. Goes back a long time. It sat empty for a couple of years. I didn't downsize. And I wanted to redo the entire interior. But I go to Florida in the winter. I have a condominium. And around this time, I get a notice, an applicant, or an invoice that I need a license for this condo. And, you know, I'm in Florida, and my son said, Dad, you got a license. You know, how much is it? $75. I said, well, just pay it. You know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. This went on for quite a few years. And the Florida condo was hit by the hurricane, so I didn't go this year. So about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I get an invoice and a mercantile form for this condo. And that I need this year an inspection for the condo. And I don't know if you all know or have a definition of the term rental. But I went to the city. I said, well, I'm home. I'll go to the city. I came down here, went in the door, didn't know where to go, brought the forms. And the doorman was a friend of mine. And he said, oh, it's right there when you come in. You go in that office, a rental place. And I believe the head man's name was Paul Simonson or something like that. So I went to Paul. And I said, gee, Paul, this is easy. I have this condominium, never rented it, it's not a rental, and my son and his wife have been living there for the last 10 years. And he said, well, the city of Bethlehem defines a rental as a property that's not your primary residence, and therefore it's a rental. So you owe the fee for a license, and we'll schedule an inspection for you in 2 weeks. So talk about a defect. I've never had any income from it. A rental means you're going to get income from whatever you're renting. But he said the city, so, oh, and then I said, gee, that doesn't sound right. So he printed off 15 pages of a city ordinance, and he gave me the solicitor's phone number to call. So I went home, I'm retired, kind of bored, called the solicitor, explained it to him, and he was very polite, said, I understand, I sympathize with you, but he said, I can't really talk to you about it, because I only deal with the city department heads. So I said, well, what do you suggest I do? He said, well, I would go back to this rental agency or whatever, where this gave me Paul's. So it was a circle. So I called Paul Simonson again, got nowhere. And he said, no, the city says, if it's not your primary residence in the city, it's a rental. So I don't want to charge back 10 years of a rental fee if you feel it's not a rental. But you talk about a defect, there's something wrong with that terminology. It's never been, oh, and the condo association, in their bylaws, you're not allowed to rent the property. So they went for the inspection last week, and I was expecting the worst because I kind of lost my cool. You get a little sarcastic. I was kind of, well, I did write an article to the Morning Call. I hope they don't publish it. But it started off dumb and dumber. But I hope they don't, they haven't called yet. But I thought I was going to really get hammered on the inspection. And all they found were two batteries for smoke detectors were low. But out on the patio off the back, the top boards on the sides, the paint was peeling, and he said showed rot, and they had to be replaced. But again, that's the homeowners association's responsibility. I'll give them the forms, but they want it done by April 6th or something. So, but if it wasn't a rental, there wouldn't have been an inspection, and they would have never asked to have that fixed. So, it's you know, a difficult situation, and just wanted to point it out that it's another defect in the city's term of a rental property. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I don't think we have anyone here from Community Economic Development, but if you wanted to hang out till the end of the meeting to talk for a minute, sir. And our city solicitor, Mr. Spurk, is also here. So if you want to hang out till we conclude tonight's agenda. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who hasn't had a chance to speak yet who wanted to make comment? I turn to the right. Is there anyone to the right? All right, that concludes our first public comment. Moving on to second public comment. This is for any ordinance or resolution that is being voted on this evening, something on tonight's agenda. We do not have anyone previously signed up, so again, I'll go around the room. Anyone to the left? Seeing none, I turn to the wide center. To the right? All right, thank you everyone. Came out tonight and made comment. Moving on to old business. Any old business for members of council? Seeing none, moving on to communications. Communication 6A.
March 3rd, 2023, memorandum from Sandra Stidell, Director of Purchasing, with an attached list of vehicles that will be placed for sale in an auction to be held within the next 60 days.
If council has no objections to the property listed, the items may be added to the online auction. If council would like to discuss a specific item, the same shall be removed from the list and discussed at the next council meeting on April 4, 2023. Would any member of council like to remove any item from the list and discuss it at the next city council meeting? Doesn't appear to be any. So if not, it will be communicated to the purchasing director. The city council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. Communication 6B.
March 9th, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with the Paul and Company of Plymouth Meeting to replace all the deteriorated catch basins located on Linfield Drive, Argus Street, Oberly Drive, Lynn Avenue, East 9th Street, and East 8th Street. The amount of the contract is $162,000. The term of the contract is 60 days, and there are no renewals.
And Resolution 10B is on this evening's agenda. Communication 6C.
March 14th, 2023, resolution, correction, memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with LCF Construction Incorporated of Hatfield to provide on-call service for repair of water distribution and wastewater collection system infrastructure and other related facilities on an as-needed basis when city personnel are unable to do so. Total cost for each job will depend on the nature and extent of the services needed and will range from $10,000 to $50,000 plus. The contract shall run from the notice to proceed through December 31st, 2023. There are three additional one-year terms.
And Resolution 10C is on the evening's agenda. Communication 6D.
March 14th, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with J. Owen Bradley Construction Company, Incorporated of Bethlehem for on-call service for repair of water distribution and wastewater collection system infrastructure and any related facilities on an as-needed basis. The cost of each job will depend on the nature and extent of the services needed and will range from $20,000 to $100,000 plus. Contracts shall run from notice to proceed through December 31st, 2023. There are three additional one-year terms.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
March 14th, 2023, memorandum and resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Michael F. Ronka and Sons Incorporated of Bethlehem for on-call service for repair of water distribution and wastewater collection system infrastructure and any related facilities on an as-needed basis. The cost of each job will depend on the nature and extent of services needed and will range from $20,000 to $100,000 plus. Contracts shall run from those to proceed through December 31st, 2023. There are three additional one-year terms.
Resolution 10 is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
March 14th, 2023, memorandum and resolution from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Aquatic Facility Design Incorporated of Millersburg, Pennsylvania, for design, bidding, project administration services for repairs and renovations to Stark Pool. The cost is $29,000 and the completion date is August 31st, 2023. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
March 16th, 2023, memorandum and two resolutions from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum outlines actions related to the extension of the South Bethlehem Greenway and the rehabilitation of Friendship Park. First resolution authorized a grant request in the amount of $1.8 million as an additional funding source for land acquisition, engineering, and construction of the Greenway Trail from Clark Street to Auburn Street between Hellertown Road and Saucon Creek. Second resolution authorizes a grant request in the amount of $250,000 as a funding source to begin park improvements to align with the Northside Alive Neighborhood Revitalization Plan.
Resolutions 10G and 10H are on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Work to Live, LLC, doing business as Run Lehigh Valley, and the event is Brew to Brew Run event. The agreement is for April 1st, 2023, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Premises is Main Street from Sand Island to Broad Street, and the Nevin Place right-of-way and West Walnut Street parcel, both of which are adjacent to the Sunning Courtyard and are designated on an exhibit attached to the agreement.
And Resolution 10I is on this evening's agenda. Communication 6I.
A memorandum from City Solicitor John Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is American Association of University Women, Bethlehem Branch, and the event is the 61st Annual Book Fair. The agreement is from March 31st through May 1st, 2023, with specific dates and times as follows: 2 to 6 p.m. on April 27th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on April 28th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on April 29th, noon to 5 p.m. on April 30th, and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on May 1st. Premises is the East Earl E. Schaefer Ice Rink.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Christmas City Spirits, and the event is Blossom Fest. The agreement is for 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on April 22nd, 2023. Premises is the Niven Place right of way and West Walnut Street parcel, both of which are adjacent to the Sun Inn Courtyard and are designated on an exhibit attached to the agreement.
Resolution 10K is on the agenda. Communication 6K.
Memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Touchstone Theater for theater and creative arts events, productions, performances, rehearsals, student and community lectures, workshops, and related activities. The agreement is for January 1st through December 31st of 2023. Premises shall be Parham Park.
Resolution 10L is on the agenda. Communication 6L.
March 16th, 2023 memorandum and resolution from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with LB Construction Enterprises Incorporated of Springhouse, PA, for labor and materials to design and construct ADA curb ramps in preparation for paving activities throughout the city. Cost is $633,200. And the completion deadline is 90 days from the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10M is on the agenda. Communication 6M.
March 16, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Police Chief Michelle Cott requesting the destruction of records from the police department. Chief has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
Resolution will be placed on our April 4 council agenda. Communication 6N.
On March 16, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Fire Chief Waranaki requesting the destruction of records from the fire department. The chief has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
And that resolution will also be placed on the April 4 council agenda. Communication 6O.
March 16, 2023, memorandum from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development, requesting a public hearing for April 4, 2023, on funding recommendations to the Council of $1,416,201 in Community Development Block Grant and $455,213 in Home Investment Partnership Program allocations for 2023.
I will accept a motion and then a second to discuss the 2023 CDBG and home allocations for Tuesday, April 4, 2023 at 7 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
So that was a motion by Councilwoman Kwiatek, second by Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Is there any discussion on the motion? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. So we will have the public hearing on Tuesday, April 4, 2023, here at 7 p.m. Communication 6P.
March 16, 2023, memorandum with an attached ordinance from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, requesting a budget transfer of $400,000 from the Recreation Facilities Fund account to the Public Works Recreation General Pool Improvements account. The action is necessary to repair and rehabilitate Stark Pool.
And Ordinance 9A is on the agenda this evening for first reading. Moving on to reports. Just one, tonight Council will be appointing Joanne Garcia to the Library Board.
Joanne Garcia to the Bethlehem Area Public Library Board. The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
So this appointment is to fill a vacancy that was created by someone who was on the Library Board and then moved out of the city. So they were no longer able to continue serving. Any discussion on the appointment? Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. I have nothing else this evening. Mr. Evans or Mr. Spurk?
Yes. Thank you, President Colon. We have one announcement. It's an exciting announcement from the mayor regarding our sister city relationship or a future possible one. Council and everyone in this room is most likely familiar with our five existing sister city relationships. They're located in the countries of Germany, Greece, Italy, Japan, and Slovenia. And the community is now invited to join Mayor Reynolds and members of the Latino Advisory Council to participate in a process to create a sister city relationship in Puerto Rico. There's an email sent to council members this afternoon. It will be posted on our website and those other social media. There will be a press conference to define that and lay out the entire process. That will be next Thursday at the Hispanic Center at 520 East 4th Street at 3:30. So it's next Thursday, 3:30, Hispanic Center, the announcement and full press conference.
Thank you, Mr.
That's all for time. Thank you.
A report from our Finance Committee, Dr. Enix.
Yes. The Finance Committee met tonight, Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee received a presentation from the city's auditors on the audit documents for the year ending December 31st, 2021. Wanda Lynn Enix, Chairman, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. So nothing for a final passage this evening, so we're going to move on to new ordinances. I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 14, 2023.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 14, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Mr. Evans, I know you gave us a handout before the meeting tonight. You would take a few minutes to go over that, and anyone else in the administration wants to talk about what we're voting on here tonight.
Sure. I'd like to begin with Mr. Alcall. The memos from him directs it explains the issue, the current issue with the pool. That Stark Pool is located in our northeast section. That's on Claremont Street and North Street, and he is on the go too. So if can he unmute it or me do that from the desk? I'm not sure.
I believe
he should. Alcall?
Mr. Alcall, are you able to
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. Alcall.
Thank you.
Mike, we're asking if you could begin by delivering the current issue that exists at our Stark Pool.
Okay. Last season, at the end of the season, when we went to draw down a closed pool, the staff was there to dewater it, and what appears to have happened is that over time, the pool, as some of you may be aware, is fairly old. It was built in the 60s sometimes, early 60s. It hasn't received any kind of, there's some upgrades, but they're not associated with the pool shell itself. But essentially some leaks have developed over time, allowing some voids to develop underneath the deep end of the pool. The deep end of the pool is as deep as 12 feet deep. So prior to the closure of the pool, there were also some rain events. But essentially what took place is that the area and the soil surrounding the pool was fully saturated. There was water underneath the bottom of the deep well, the deep end of the pool, essentially creating hydrostatic pressure and forces on both the walls of the pool as well as the bottom of the pool. That was stable, but as soon as you go to dewater the pool, draw down the pool, you're essentially creating forces on the bottom of the pool that would push up on the whole shell. So as they dewatered the pool, the staff was there, they put the pumps in, and it was being dewatered, and they left, and they came back. When it was dewatered, as you can imagine, hydrostatic pressure created by 12 feet of head water at the bottom of the pool pushed up the pool and lifted it about 4 inches. So the deep end section of the pool, the shell, if you're looking at the decking around the pool, had moved up 4 inches. So there's a difference in about 4 inches of the adjacent deck with the perimeter of the pool that was created as a result of this movement. As the water receded by the second day, as the water receded as it would normally do and take place, that deep section of the pool had settled back down about halfway from the displacement that had occurred, so leaving about 2 inches of differential depth between the decking and the shell. As a result of this event, obviously there's a drainage system around the perimeter of the pool. That system, because of that significant movement, was significantly damaged. So what we need to do in order to repair the pool is we have to fill the voids, stabilize underneath the deep end of the pool, essentially dig out and restore the drainage system around the perimeter of the pool. And then what we plan to do, we have the option of leaving it at 12 feet deep, but we no longer have a diving board. There's really no need to have it that deep. And if we shallow the pool, it would require less maintenance over time, so it made sense to consider that as an option to shallow it. And whether we shallow it or leave it at the depth that it's currently at, the cost difference is minimal. So what we plan to do is to, as I said, stabilize the bottom of the pool, fill the pool partially to a shallower depth, put a drainage system underneath there to relieve any hydraulic pressure that may occur in the future. We store the drainage system around the perimeter of the pool, and of course do some decking restoration around the pool in order to rehabilitate and recover the full use of the pool. And that's what the entire project entails. The $400,000 would cover both the design, engineering services and oversight, as well all of the construction that is needed to complete this project.
Thank you, Mr. Alcorn. Was there anything else you want to add, Mr. Evans, before we open it up to questions and discussion from council?
No, I'd just revisit some of the points Mr. Alcorn made, that our existing pool system is 5 wide. From time to time, we have had to take a pool offline. The hope here is to, if we, the support to
to repair the pool is there from council, and we have the votes this meeting from council as well as the next meeting. We'd be under contract as soon as possible to make the repairs in hopes that it would be ready for this summer. We'd hope not to lose. It's a pool that brings in attendance of over 5,000 people a year. This was something that happened similar to Clearview, which is on the west side, just off Pinehurst Road. It's actually on Pinehurst Road, just off Pennsylvania Avenue. In the years 2016 and 2017, Clearview was closed. It was shallowed, as Mr. Alcall says. I mean, you just don't need that 12-foot deep end. The shallow water, 6-7 feet, is only enough for most of recreation it's used for. The slide can be reintroduced, but the diving boards are no longer at Clearview or Stark. So it would create less water being used, less chemical being used, easier to clean, and still be fully functional. So we think it presents the best solution versus options B or C, which would be to decommission and have a pool standing still and closed, or the idea of construction, which is a much higher cost and much more radical. I think the cost of estimates came in at $1.2 to $1.6 million. Those are estimates. Those aren't bids, so we would wait and see how the market responds to that. It would also mean that pool would be offline at least 2 years, because the reality is situation to put an RFP together, and that would be until midsummer. Until we have anything under contract and demolition until late in the fall, construction would be luckily do it one construction season. We experienced a similar version on a smaller scale, a much bigger scale over at Memorial. This wouldn't be that size, but it'd be a much larger endeavor. So we feel there's life left in it. We feel it's worth putting the money into it, that it can add decades onto the life of an existing asset, much like Clearview did the same. Yasco on the south side of note is also undergoing some work, not to this extent. And west side also had some work about 5 years ago. So time to time, we understand the need is needed to be made. We think we're at that point. I'll speak a couple moments about the opportunity to pay for it. We look to recreation fees. I provided a spreadsheet to council. I'll explain it briefly. Recreation fees were introduced into the city in 2008. They're generated when new development goes online at $1,500 per unit, and there's values and calculations that Darlene Heller and Laura Collins could much better articulate than I can. What I can present to you tonight is you'll see the revenue generated from the development that we often speak about here in the confines of town hall during council meetings. In column one, year from 2008 when rec fees went online till this current year. In column two, the revenue, that's how much comes into the city each year. When it comes into the city, it goes into an escrow account and waits until it's authorized by council to be spent. Traditionally, we don't put it in the budget year to year, but you'll see the different purposes that arise and we're able to use. So the revenue collected, if you'll notice in the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years through 19, $250,000 on average a year. In some of the years when other development, larger development took place, to 2020, $522,000 paid into this fund. Last year in 2022, this fund generated $698,000, and this year early on, $42,000, that was as of February. The next column shows the expenses that have been made or commitments that have been made out of the account. Some of the more recent this council has voted on or put into the budget. The kaboom at Fairview Park, and the most recent, if you look at the 2022 line, was a $105,000 commitment that council did make, and that went into this year's. I believe that's the only rec fee that is now actually in play. The Monocacy Way was used to match a grant with DCNR, and they funded that. If you go back to 2021, and more recent, and tracking backwards, during COVID, we provided $80,000 to youth sports organizations to continue throughout the COVID to help fund their there are shortfalls, as well as money into the Rose Garden, 2019, the Rose Garden. And if you go back, you kind of get the idea of the way it's been used. You'll see West Side repairs back in 2012. It's been used for the repairs of Memorial Pool. So sometimes it's to repair existing infrastructure. Other times it's to expand. You'll see several rounds of Greenway funding, the addition of a bathroom, and some various playgrounds to time. The recreational funds by ordinance shall be used for providing, acquiring, operating, maintaining, or recreational facilities are reasonably accessible to the development from which the fees are paid. So if it is a public use and all these clearly have satisfied that eligibility as well as the current request
request that is in front of you, which is to revitalize or reinvest in infrastructure, which you believe is a valuable part of our recreational programming.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. So before I open it up to discuss from council, so just a couple of points of clarification from my own understanding. So the rec fees, when that was implemented in 2008, was that something that the state put into effect, or, and maybe we don't know, you know, this, we're talking many years ago, but at that time, was it something that the city brought forward as a new way to generate revenue, or was that something that was put out there by the state that now we can start doing?
Yeah, state law passed that authorized municipalities to do it, so we did it.
Makes sense. And then the, you said it's $1,500 per unit for new development. Mr. Evans, is that a flat number, do you know, per?
I'll read a bullet points and be able to get some information from you, but this is provided to me. Recreational fees were established in 2007 to address future impacts of city recreational facilities, and new residences and developments. The parameters of requirement are outlined in the Municipal Planning Code, the MPC. Actually allows for the dedication of land instead of the fee, but we always prefer the fee to help the city keep up with capital infrastructure improvements, what we're speaking of tonight, in our existing parks. It is really too impractical to accept smaller plots of land for dedication. Rec fees are required for all new land developments, non-residential additions over 5,000 square feet, and new residential units. The requirement for rec fees are outlined in saldo. I quoted a small part of that. Payments required prior to the finalization of a developer's agreement. If the project does not warrant developer's agreement, they are required at the time of the building permit issuance. Fee for residential is $1,500 per unit. Sliding scale for non-residential uses based on the square footage of a building. Fees are not required for any qualified affordable housing units, non-commercial recreation land, or buildings, primary or secondary schools, colleges, universities, or places of worship.
Thank you.
So that's the generation. One other point I wanted to make on this spreadsheet is you see the revenue that's been brought in through the years, the expenses and the purpose, and the bottom, that number that's bolded, shows the standing amount. Now that's the amount that's in escrow, so it's in an account. The way it's segregated, it's labeled recreation fees, it's not segregated for anything, it's for as projects come up. When we have an opportunity for a grant becomes available, whether it be county or state, you have found that we've come to you with the matching grant, but the matching part would have been recreational fees because they're immediately available, or other infrastructure that sometimes doesn't give us a real long warning period that this is also available. The current balance, available balance, is $1.25 million. So based on the other opportunities, we do, you know, believe that this investment is worthwhile. We also believe that the $1.25 million, that a $400,000 use to add quite a substantial addition to the life of a valuable asset, is why we think it's our proposal that we'd like to move forward with.
Do we have any estimate of how long it would extend the life of Stark Pool? Mr. Alcohol, engineer.
Yeah, it would take probably something like 30 years at least without another major renovation that might be required.
And then was this, now I know you talked about the dewatering of the pool last year, Mr. Alcohol, and these kind of things are not, in exact science at times. Was this potential project already on your department's radar the last few seasons that the pool was opening, or was this a surprise to your staff?
This is an unexpected event. I think the voids and the leakage that had occurred at the bottom of the pool, as normal routine, you periodically do some sealing and some joint rehabilitation. This needed it, you know, perhaps that was delayed too long before it was, it should have taken place. But this was an unexpected event, and this project, as a result, was not a planned project, per se.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Alcohol. And the last question I had before I make another comment or two and turn it over to the rest of the council, Mr. Evans, just to make sure I heard you correctly, you said about 5,000 people use Stark Pool every year, roughly? Is that accurate?
Yes, to give you some perspective, last year it was 5,173 at Stark, 4,770 at Clearview. If you're familiar with their pools, they're almost mirror images in the northeast and the west as far as size. and they're both surrounded in, you know, pretty high residential communities. So 51 for Stark, 4,800 for Clearview, 3,300 for Westside, 1,918 for Yasco, and the Memorial, the big one's 22,000. That's a whole different number. But the other one basically steps down the 5,432 between the four neighborhood pools, which are, fortunately, proximity to location is wonderful the way it's been laid out. If you can go back and redo it today, you really wouldn't move a bunch of that opportunity. We always say, if you got the opportunity to redesign the city, where would you place your pools? They're spread out, and we're looking even earlier. Two and a half miles in each direction is your the four pools locations.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. So just a couple comments before I turn it over to council. So I will be supporting this tonight. A couple of the reasons I look at it is simply that this, where we're bringing the money from, this $400,000, being this recreation fund, this is money that is dedicated for purposes like this. And the current balance is not insignificant at over $1.2 million, and we drew it down, not to zero, but we drew it down pretty low for Memorial Pool a few years ago when we took money from the recreation fees to help finance and pay for the renovations to Memorial Pool, and then that fund regenerates, as we heard, and now we're back up to 1.2, and we're still early on in the year, so I'm sure that 42,000 is going to be significantly higher by the time we close out the calendar year. And just given where Stark Pool is over there on the north side, I know that there's not, Memorial Pool would be the next closest pool that would serve those neighborhoods. They're not necessarily in walking distance, and that's subjective depending where you're coming from or riding your bike. And then I don't want to see people get turned off to using city pools because the pool could potentially come offline if we don't put into bringing it up. And I don't want to see Memorial Pool get more crowded than it has been, because I know we've talked about this previous summers where Memorial Pool, because it's our shiny new toy, has garnered a lot of attention and a lot of people coming out to Memorial Pool and seeing it at capacity, which is great. But now if you displace 5,000 users of Stark Pool, or are they going to go? Either nowhere, which again, we don't want people not to have access to our recreation facilities, or Memorial Pool, which again, just potentially kind of overcrowds the pool or makes it less accessible to others just based on the numbers. So again, going by that we are, it is a substantial investment. I think it's a needed investment, and this is exactly what this money is dedicated for that we collect to establish this fund. So those are just my thoughts. I will open it up to the rest of council for questions or comments. Start with Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm definitely biased because my three children grew up at Stark Pool, so as you know, and really great memories there. And I think that it's important. I'm definitely going to support this because it is the only pool that's accessible for the children and the adults in the northeast area of the city. And most importantly is, I know when I was going there a few years ago, that it was the only accessible walking accessible pool for the kids that were from Moorabbin and Pembroke. And I think that's really important, and I think it just is in line with us being inclusive as far as being accessible for the kids to have pools in this area. So I definitely will support this, and I thank Mr. Alcall for the information. I think 400,000 is a lot of money, but if it's going to give us another 30,000 years at that pool, I think that's great.
Thank you, Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Office of the Health Bureau as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. Call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. The clerk will read Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with DePaul and Company for the Linfield Storm Sewer Project. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion.
We'll call the roll.
Ms. Grimson Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. It passes 5-0. Resolution 10C.
It resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with LCF Construction Incorporated for emergency utility services. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with J.O. and Bradley Construction Company Incorporated for emergency utility services. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Michael F. Bronca and Sons Incorporated for emergency utility services. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Aquatic Facility Design Incorporated for Stark Pool Design Services. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10G.
Whereas the City of Bethlehem desires to undertake the project Bethlehem Greenway Trail Gap, and whereas applicant desires to receive from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources grant for carrying out this project, whereas the applicant understands the terms and conditions will become terms and conditions of grant agreement between the applicant and the department of the applicant is awarded a grant, and now therefore it is resolved that the grant agreement signature page may be signed on behalf of the applicant by the official who at the time of the signing has the title of mayor. If the applicant is awarded a grant, signed grant agreement signature page will become the applicant's executed signature page for the agreement, and any amendment to the grant agreement may be signed by the mayor, and grantee will be bound by the amendment. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10H.
Whereas the City of Bethlehem desires to undertake the project Friendship Park Rehabilitation, and whereas the applicant desires to receive from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources a grant for carrying out this project, whereas the applicant understands the terms and conditions will become the terms and conditions of a grant agreement between the applicant and the department if the applicant is awarded a grant. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the grant agreement signature page may be signed on behalf of the applicant by the official who at the time of the signing has the title of mayor. If the applicant is awarded a grant, signed grant agreement signature page will become the applicant's executed signature page for the agreement, and any amendment to the grant agreement may be signed by the mayor, and the grantee will be bound by the amendment. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colon.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Work to Live LLC doing business as Run Lehigh Valley for the Brew to Brew Run event. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with American Association of University Women, Bethlehem Branch, for the 61st Annual Book Fair. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10K.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Christmas City Spirits for Blossom Fest. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10L.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Touchstone Theater for arts, events, rehearsals, lectures, workshops, and related activities. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
Just a quick comment.
Yes.
Just to say that I'm very pleased to see this. Having that full year of a use permit agreement for Touchstone will make it just so much smoother for them to be able to use Parham Park. They utilize that space so well with the stage that they have at the rear of the theater. I think it's great. Looking forward to more great events there this summer.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. And our last resolution, 10M.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with LB Construction Enterprises Incorporated to provide ADA curb ramps at various locations throughout the city. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Liam.
Discussion?
Quick question.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Mr. Alcall, can you tell me, it says 2023, 11 ADA curb ramps. Does that mean literally 11 curb ramps will be built with this contract?
How many did you say again?
11? It says project or contract reference, 2023, 11 ADA curb ramps.
That's not correct. I don't know if that's a mistake in that reference, but I believe there's significantly more involved. I think something in the order of 80 something.
Okay.
Did you all come to the microphone, please?
Yes.
You just identify yourself.
That's just the contract number.
I'm Basley, I'm the Chief of Engineering and Deputy Director of Public Works. 11 is the number of contracts. There's like about 100 ADA ramps that will be designed and built this year.
Okay, that's good, because otherwise really a lot of money per covering. So I appreciate that clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion from members of council? We will call roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. New business. I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing on a proposed zoning map amendment for Tuesday, April 18th, 2023 at 7 p.m. This is related to the rezoning request of 119 Technology Drive from industrial redevelopment to central business. This is rescheduling that public hearing that I announced in the beginning that we weren't having tonight.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Ms. Kwiatek, second by Ms. Leon. Any discussion? We'll call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
It passes 5-0. So a public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, April 18th at 7 p.m. to talk about the rezoning. Any other new business for members of council? Ms. Leon?
I just wanted to thank some of you for coming out to speak tonight. I'm a Southside resident, so I have a lot of the same reservations. And whether it's Ms. Fritz speaking about the historic conservation on the south side, I wonder if we've already done too much damage, or the rezoning. So, like, you're heard, you're seen, we hear you, we're thinking, and we're trying to be as forward-thinking as possible as we come up with solutions. At least me, I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm here, I see you.
Thank you, Ms. Lamb. Any other new business from members of council? Ms. Quintet?
First of all, to the gentleman who spoke first tonight about his disability, I really want to thank you for coming out and sharing your experience. I work over there right near where you hang out. I've seen you do amazing feats of strength. and I just appreciate you speaking your truth and opening people's eyes, and I'm hoping that there'll be an opportunity for growth, especially among our police officers, for better understanding. In my capacity as the liaison to the Bethlehem Housing Authority, I've been monitoring the progress as the executive director search progresses. As you may recall, the former executive director retired in December. As such, on Monday, March 27th at 4 p.m. in Monocacy Tower, that's 645 Main Street, there will be a special and open meeting of the Bethlehem Housing Authority Board of Commissioners to discuss an RFP, that's a request for proposals, for an executive search consulting service. They're going to use a search service to do a full search to search for the new executive director, and this is an open meeting, and I just wanted to share that with folks who may be interested in keeping abreast of what's going on with the search for the new Bethlehem Housing Authority executive director, and especially as we go forward with our housing strategies program and initiative, and talking in our last meeting about how important the partnership between the city and the Bethlehem Housing Authority is. Hiring the new executive director is obviously a key part of that. And then finally, on Friday, March 31st at 9 a.m. in Payroll Plaza, we'll be raising the transgender pride flag. It is Transgender Day of Visibility. I'm a proud mother of a transgender young woman, and I will be there, and I hope whoever can make it will be there too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quintet. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you also to everyone come out tonight, to the gentleman who spoke first, thank you, and for the woman who spoke about the south side and the housing. I totally concur. I was just saying to Dr. Enix before the meeting, it's, you know, I think everyone here is really an advocate for having more of an inclusionary Bethlehem as far as housing for all levels of income. But sometimes our hands are tied, and most of the development that I'm aware of happened and was approved even before I was on council. So, but we are working to try to do whatever we can in that area. And to the gentleman that spoke about the rentals, I actually have a friend who had a very similar situation as you. And I will talk to Mr. Simonson and see what we can do, because it definitely sounds like it's a loophole. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Anything else from members of the council? Well, thank you for coming out tonight, everyone. Have a good evening. I missed.
You totally missed.